Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many know your past is broken? How many of that person, you know, the Word of God says that old things are washed away and all things have become new. That means everything in your past, all your connections, all those things that might have been holding you back, they are broken. When Christ died on the cross for you, He broke those things. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's a reality. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, look at somebody and tell two people that your past is broken. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. If you would turn in your Bibles to, it's going to be John chapter 18. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord. There's none like you, Father. There has never, ever been anyone like you. There is no comparing you to anybody. Lord, we just thank you. God, we just ask you, Lord, that as we come into your word to this morning, that you would speak into our hearts, Lord. Let us see things that we haven't seen before. Let us hear things we haven't heard before. Lord, bring a freshness to the word. Lord, like God, just thrill us and excite us with who you are in your word, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. If you will, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. We thank you for it, Lord. It's been a long night. They had dinner. One of the apostles left, and they went from dinner. They went to a garden where Jesus decided. He said, you know, hey, let's pray. So they went to this garden where they always would go with Jesus, and he went off a little bit on by himself, and he began to pray. The apostles fell asleep. Amen. Not realizing what was about to take place. Jesus himself knew what was going to happen. Judas shows up with a crowd of men from the temple. And he kisses Jesus. And Jesus is arrested and taken to Annas first. Annas was the high priest's father-in-law. Why they decided they were going to take him. He was an ex-high priest. But they took him to Annas first, and then from Annas, they sent him to Caiaphas. And while he was talking to Caiaphas, he was hit in the face by a guard that was there and told him to have some respect for the high priest. But now it's early in the morning. It's been a long morning. What Jesus had told Peter happened, has already happened, that before the cock crowed three times, before the cock crowed that morning, Peter would have denied him three times. And I found out this at the last, our last retreat. That crowing of the rooster, which I thought was a rooster. How many thought it was a rooster? A Jewish rabbi had told Cesar, he goes, no, man, those animals are not allowed on that Temple Mount. Those are unclean birds, man. He said, the crowing was the man that got up in the morning, very early in the morning. Or whatever, you know, that was the crow. That was the call that before that guy got up and did that, Peter would have done it three times. And it's kind of cool. But we find Jesus headed for Pilate, and starting at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. and it was early. And they themselves went out, went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. That's kind of a weird statement, isn't that right? They don't want to be defiled, yet they're putting an innocent man to death. They want to get an innocent man to death. What is that? They've set him up. They're going to set him up. I mean, it's just crazy how men think. Amen. They don't want to be defiled, so they didn't go into the judgment hall. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." And the Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should take. Earlier he had told his disciples that he would be given into the hands of the Gentiles, and they would crucify him. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" "No, you're not a Jew." Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault at all." Or he's gone. A man that is being sentenced to death. This was his last trial, his last attempt to say anything. This would be his last attempt to say anything. Any of us probably would have said, "Whatever, I didn't do it, whatever." But you know, but Jesus instead chose to tell him, "I have come to bear witness of the truth." Pilate had no idea what he was saying. How many of you know that? Had no idea. Pilate even said, "What is truth?" Amen. I want to talk to you today just a little bit about truth. Name of the sermon this morning, Influence for Influence. You want to just write that down? Influence for Influence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would, to go to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Don't make us write something and then switch. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I love this. How many of you guys like this? I just love this portions of Scripture. I don't know. Anyway. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not." That word new is like I spoke a couple of weeks ago, and it is like the Spanish word. I can't remember. I just lost it. It's like the Spanish word conozco. The Word of God says that he came into the world and the world did not know him, but it didn't recognize him, is what it's really saying. The world didn't recognize him. The people of the world, I believe the planet recognized him. I believe the stars and the sun and the moon and all of that recognized him. Even so much where Jesus, even the demon said, hey, why are you come? We know who you are. They recognized him. Is that right? But nobody else recognized him. And so sometimes, friend, and just know this, it's time that we begin to recognize who he is in our life. Is that okay? And we talked about that it is high time that we recognize who Christ is. Hallelujah. And who he is to us. Hallelujah. The world didn't recognize him. Hallelujah. He came into his own, and his own didn't receive him. There in the temple, he went to the temple. He was doing things. He was healing people. Is that right? And they would not receive him. With all the things that he did. You guys remember? Even Nicodemus went to him at night and says, hey, no man can do all these things that you do. You're a teacher sent from God, aren't you? And Jesus begins to give him some very powerful words. These are powerful words to us. You know, the world doesn't think a lot of these words, but these words, Jesus said, you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, how am I going to do that? I mean, I'm old. Crawl back into my mom's womb and be born again. And Jesus tells him, no, man, you must be born again. Everyone must be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. Every person in this building here tonight was born of water. How many know that? Is that right? Yeah. I remember when Rosie was in the hospital, when we got to the hospital, right when we got there, water. Is that okay? And my daughter was born not too long after that. Hallelujah. Born of water. We're all born of water. We got to be born of the Spirit to understand the things of the kingdom of God. Is that what the Word of God says? Is that what Jesus said? No man. You must be born again. Hallelujah. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I know that some of the translations don't say power, but I like the King James because it says power. The Holy Ghost, he says, tarry. Jesus told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Amen? Amen. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. That's who he's talking about. Wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. It's a simple command. Is that right? And sometimes we don't hold on to that command. Sometimes we're just going to go do stuff without the Holy Ghost. Is that right? We need to stop it. We need to let God do what he wants to do through us. And we need to allow him to lead us by his Spirit. Come on, hallelujah. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become what? Sons of God. Let's talk about it. Sons of God, hallelujah. But I thought there was only one Son of God. Yeah, there's one. But he comes to dwell in your life and comes to dwell in your heart, creating you into a son of God. Isn't that crazy? Who, me? Me? A son of God? Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Not kidding you. He comes into your life. Is that right? Sometimes, folks, we need to quit looking in the mirror sometimes. I don't like that guy. How many of you do that? Sometimes let me just say this. One time I remember I was looking at the Word of God, and it says that your youth will be renewed as the eagles. I said, okay, I'm going to grab a hold of that word right there. How many say amen to that? I said, I'm going to take a hold of that word. God, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to live it. Young man, that's who I am. That's why I tell a lot of you young men, young ladies, you're a young man, you're a young lady, because of the Word of God says it. Not me, because the Word of God says it. But I'm taking a hold of it. But I got up one morning looking in the mirror, and I go, yeah, God, but I got gravity against me. How many say? Yeah, gravity's working against me, man. And it was funny because as I drove to work that morning, I was driving it, and the Lord began to speak things to me. He says, do you remember when that hammerhead fell in the water with Elisha? I go, yeah. He goes, what'd it do? Well, yeah, it floated. Yeah. I didn't realize what God was talking about. He says, do you remember how that there was a chariot that came and picked up Elisha and hauled him off? You remember that? How did that happen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, I remember that now. Yeah, I do. What are you saying, God? Drove all the way up to the mine with these little things going on in my head. Got to the mine. I was backing in the parking lot. He says, do you remember when I called Peter out of the boat? I said, yeah. What happened? What do you do? He walked on the water, Lord, until he got scared. I said, Lord, I'm not scared. It was like I wasn't getting the point. And finally, it come to me. He says, listen, everything is under my jurisdiction, even gravity. I said, oh, I get it. I get it. So what he was telling me, he said, man, don't look in the mirror. Don't look in the mirror, man. No. Hallelujah. Stop looking in the mirror, man. Just believe me. Is that okay? God wants us to believe him for his word. When you see it in the word of God, just say, okay, I'm going to take that. You know what? Pick those things out. I'm going to take this one. I'm going to take that one. How many of you know there's some things in the word of God that we don't like to pick? Is that right? Love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you, right? Oh, well, maybe next week. No, man, pick that one too. Amen? And get a hold of it and grab a hold of it. The word of God. Hallelujah. To as many as received unto them, they gave the power to become sons of God. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. He is creating within you him. Is that okay? The greatest thing that we need to be working for is that Christ be seen in us. Is that what the scriptures tell us? That God, that they look at him and that man, remember how they told the apostles, hey, we recognize that you've been with Jesus. Amen? And that should be a goal in our lives. We've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God's will. Do you realize and know that you're here for a purpose? Do you realize that God planned you from the beginning of eternity, even before the planets were made, even before he had you, and he says, 54, that's when I was born. 1954, this guy's going to enter in. What year were you born, Hank? 56. Come on, man. I thought I was going to be the younger. Praise God. 1971. Whenever you were born, that was a plan of God. God planned you. Hallelujah. I don't care how you got here, he planned it. Is that right? Is that okay with you? Because he's a mighty God. He understands what's going on. He is a great planner. He plans and it happens. Praise God. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh. Who's it talking about here? Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Say it one more time.
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say grace and truth.
Grace
and truth. The word of God tells us right here that there was a glory within him. Is that right? That there was a glory. They saw the glory. He was filled. He was full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, I'm getting this really good because I sat up late last night and I'm getting it, man. I'm starting to feel it. And now you guys are looking at me, what? What? Okay. But I'm going to tell you something. Just hold on. I hope it's going to get better for you. Is that okay? Everybody look at this person next to you. It's going to get better. Yeah. Look at that person next to you on the other side. Say, hey, wake up, man. It's going to get better. Hey, come on, man. Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. And verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16 says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Everybody say grace and truth. Grace and truth. And then verse 16 says, of his fullness have all we received. Do you see that? Let me just say this to you. That's a true statement, and it's to you this morning. His fullness you've all received. He's given it to you. It is part of you. His fullness is in you. Is that okay? If you believe in Jesus, if you accepted him into your life, into your heart, his fullness is within you. And that fullness, he says, it says, he looks at it and he says, well, the fullness have we all received, and it says grace for grace. I'm gonna ask them to put up the word grace. And I'm gonna go through this again because I really like speaking on this word here. I took a picture of this because sometimes you look and you say, well, he's just making that up. How many of that? Yeah, I don't know if I believe him or not. He's just making that. So what I did, I went to the Strong's Concordance. I said, I'm going to take a picture of this thing. And I'm going to show it to you because this is what it says. Grace is not unmerited favor. You're going to see this. Unmerited favor is not in this at all. It's nowhere in this translation of the word grace. Unmerited favor is more along the lines of mercy. Mercy. Everybody say mercy. God gives you mercy. Hallelujah. It's an unmerited favor. But grace is totally different. Grace is, this is what it says. Number, okay, you guys are going to like this. Number 5485, charis. This is the word for grace. The word is grace. Charis translates into grace. It says from 5463, it means graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, abstract or concrete, literally or figuratively, or spiritual. And then he says this, especially, is that, you see that ESPs? Especially, it says, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. And then it gives synonyms, acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, grace, gracious, joy, liberality, pleasure, thanks, and thankworthy. But I want to concentrate on that where it says divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. But I want to just say this to you. That is the Holy Ghost. When the Word of God says that he was full of grace and truth, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Is that right? He is the Spirit of grace. I love it, man. Grace. Full of grace. How many know the Word of God says that we read it earlier, that it says that we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Is that what it said? We beheld his glory. They saw his glory. Can I tell you something? His glory is in you. But if it's in you and it's locked up, it's not going to be seen. Is that okay? You see, the Word of God says it is divine influence upon the heart. And then it says, it's reflection upon the life. What people will see when you go to help somebody, when you go to speak to them, they will see something within you because it's Christ in you. They'll see it. And when they see these acts coming out of your life, they're going to see it. And you know what it appears as? It appears as glory. It looks, hey, that's, they're going to say, hey, who are you, man? And you say, hey, I know, never met anybody like you. I've never seen somebody do that. It is called glory, and the world is looking for it. It is very recognizable. Hallelujah. God said it this way. He says, surely as I live. He told Moses, when Moses had the children of Israel had gone into the promised land, come back, and said, a bunch of giants, man. We're like grasshoppers. They're going to kill us, man. And we're scared. You know, we don't want to go. And then God says, hey, man, look. Stand over here, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. Remember that? Stand over here and wipe them out. He goes, okay. He says, but God, what are they going to say back in Egypt? That you brought them out here to kill them? What are they going to say? What's going on with that, God? How's that going to happen? How's that going to look? Lord, would you just forgive them? And I believe that God was looking for Moses to do that. But when Moses began to pray for them, he said, the Lord said this to him. He goes, hey, okay, I'm not going to destroy them, but surely as I live, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that glory is in you. When the Holy Ghost is within you and you begin to do things, that glory is going to be seen and it's going to draw and attract. I used to tell the young people all the time, say, man, just because you're in a mall and a bunch of kids coming towards you, man, these guys, man, they like you. You don't think you're all that. I mean, you know what I mean? You're not all that. It's the glory of God that's within you. There might be seeing that, and it's a very attractive. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit upon the person, upon their life, is a diadem of beauty, is what the Word of God says. It's a diadem of beauty. That's who you are. You're attractive to the world, and at the same time, the world wants to get away from you. Is that right? Why? Because they are doing things that are not good. They're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. They're doing things that, if you're around you, it's going to get exposed. Is that right? Isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of his fullness we've all received, grace for grace. And then he says this. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Everybody say grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. See, what he's bringing in here, right here. What I like right here, he's bringing in the law of Moses and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Is that okay? Romans chapter 8. If you begin reading Romans chapter 8, it's going to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that cool? That's very cool. Hello? Anybody here? Yeah? Hello? I mean, that's very nice. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's awesome, man. God has broken that thing, just like we sang earlier. Your past is broken. It's busted. So he's describing a covenant. How many of you guys like covenants? Covenant. God is a covenant-making God. Is that right? And he will make a covenant with you, you personally, if you'll go after him. Hallelujah. If you'll believe him. When you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you're stepping into the covenant. Is that okay? Hallelujah. What? He's a covenant-making God. I'm going to show you something. Let me show you what he says about his covenant. Go to Jeremiah 31, 31. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 31, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. How many like new things? And God is talking about a new thing. He's talking about a new covenant. The days will come. When he said this, it hadn't come. It wasn't in yet. The day will come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. Sounds like a marriage covenant, doesn't it? You know, any kind of covenant that you make with God, you're going to find that God is very faithful to you in that covenant. Even though you're not faithful, he'll always be faithful. Isn't that good about God? He's always faithful to you. He knows you and he knows your heart and he knows how of a struggle it is. He knows that you're but flesh. And he says, I will pity them and I'm gonna make a covenant with them and I will be responsible for my end of the covenant. And he's always asking, he said, just hold up. Just hold up. Just continue to watch. Continue to go after me and you're going to find that I am so, so faithful to my covenant. He says he was a husband to them. Verse 33 says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Anybody like Aladdin? You guys remember the movie Aladdin? Come on, man. Okay, wake up. You guys remember Aladdin? I mean, wouldn't it be cool? What do you need? Wouldn't that be cool? Come on, man. I've always, you know, whenever it'd be cool to have, you know. But somehow I related that with God, because we're not, I mean, God says, call upon me in times of trouble and I will answer you. You know, we got a better deal than what was his name? Aladdin, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We got, everybody goes, duh. Yeah. We got a better, isn't that right? But he's not just this God that, he says, man, there's things that he goes, I operate with you in a covenant of love. Love. He says, I love you. Isn't that cool? He goes, I will do for you all those things that you will believe me for that I have told you in my word. Is that cool? That is cool, man. Because if you get in the Word of God, how many of you like reading the Word of God? I mean, if you get in the Word of God, you're going to find out that there's a lot of promises in there. A lot. More than you've even realized. There is something for, I mean, this book has something for every man, woman, and child. It will do what it will do if you'll believe Him. The problem is, we don't believe Him. We don't even believe Him enough to read it on a constant basis. Now, come on. What is that? And then we want to call on Him when things go wrong, things go bad. But He's faithful, isn't He? He comes in. Yeah, man. He goes, I got a word for that. He says, I got an app for that. That's what the Word of God says. I got something for that. Here's your promise right here. There it is. And you go, oh my God, I can realize that the things that you have for my life are already within me, that He has already placed them there. Come on, man. Can I tell you, God does not mess around. God's not playing with you. He says, when He says, by His stripes you've been healed, He's not playing with you. He's not playing with you. He didn't put a son on the cross to play around. That was a reality for all mankind, to whoever will believe it. Folks, I don't know. That's the best deal in town. Amen? Amen. Best deal in town. Amen. Got you covered, he says. I got you covered. I got an app for that. Hallelujah. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And then verse 34, I want you to look at this. Verse 34 says this, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. And every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Good deal, amen? But he says, you know what? He goes, at that time, you're not going to be saying, hey, let me teach you about God. I'm going to say to you this morning, I'm not here to teach you anything. Do you know that? Let's just get real about this. I'm not here to teach you anything. I am here to inspire the Word of God into your spirit so that your spirit will grab a hold of it, be inspired, and take it and hold it for its own. That's why I'm here. If I try to be a teacher, you know whose place I'm trying to take? The Holy Ghost. That's not my job, that's His job. He will teach you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you in everything. Hallelujah. I'm going to go as Paul said this, follow me, is that right? As I follow the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Some folks might say, hey, well, you're our leader. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not your leader. Jesus is your leader. There is no other leader that you should have in your life but Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you get me? Do you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to you? It is a personal communication with Him. It's a personal connection with Him. He will not be done. But that's why He says, I will not give my glory to another. He will not spread that around. It only comes through the Holy Spirit into your life. And then when the glory shows up in your life, you're going to, it's not me, bro. It's God. It's the Holy Ghost in my life. I was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the truth. We're so used to people teaching and, I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong. I know nothing about brain surgery. And so we need folks to be teaching things like that. We need engineers. How many know that? We need people that know how to build an engine to put in those new cars. They need to learn those things. Those are good. Those things are fine. But let me tell you something. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you don't need anybody to teach you. The spiritual matters come from the Holy Ghost and only for Him. And men and women of God going around inspiring one another, speaking truth to them, inspiring them so that they hear and listen and it becomes a reality within them and they get saved and they begin a walk listening for God. Folks, I mean, don't ever get in a place where you think you got to teach them. Don't ever get there. You just inspire. You just speak things to them. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. He wants us independently. We've taught this a lot. Independently dependent upon Him. Amen. He wants us in a position where we come to Him. You can come to me all you want. I'll try to help you. I will. But I'm going to tell you what I'll do. I'm going to say, you need to go to Jesus. You need to go to God. You need to find Him. He's got your answer. He's not looking to give it. He's got your answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The covenant. This is the covenant that Jesus brought to us. Is that what it says? He brought it to us. He bought it and brought it. I like that. He bought it and brought it. This is the covenant that we've entered into. It's this covenant right here. Just like He said, I will place my words on your heart. What God is desiring to write on your heart is truth. Is that right? Truth. Everybody say truth. Truth. We talk about grace, and then we'll talk about truth a little bit. He comes by the Holy Spirit. Could you put up John 16, verse 13? The Holy Spirit comes into your life. You accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes and He's hovering over you and he's saying, hey, invite me and I will come in and sup with you and open the door to me and allow me to come in. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say something to you. He's with you. He's upon you, but He wants to be in you. Do you hear me? He wants to be in you. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. The scriptures talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking of tongues. It's a reality. It really is. It does happen. It will happen. It's a reality. I know a lot of folks say, oh, okay, all right, here we go. I said, but I'm going to say this. Because, folks, we're talking about truth. And we're talking about power. And we're talking about an end time generation. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. The end time generation better know the truth. The end time generation better know the power. The power is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you better get used to it. Get used to it because God is saying, look, I'm going to fill you. I will fill you. Release. You know, the Word of God, I don't know how I got here. The Word of God says this. He says, they that come to me as a little child. Is that right? Can I just tell you something, folks? Speaking in tongues feels silly. Do you know that? It feels odd. It's a weird feeling. It's can't be. That can't be it. That can't be it. It feels, but you come to Him like a child. Do you remember? You guys ever heard a little boy, a little girl say, "Bisketti, bisketti"? Yeah. Is it correct? Is it? Does it bother them? What do you want for dinner? Biscotti. Hey, cool, man. We know what it is, huh? Folks, as a little child, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes in like a flood. And sometimes you begin to speak in other tongues. You speak in a way that you've never spoken before. And then we'll stop and say, well, that's not, that's I was taught this. It's a reality, folks. It really is. And it is especially an end time generation reality. Hallelujah. Because when you pray in the Spirit, the Word of God says that you pray according to the will of God. The will of God, not my will. Oh, we say it all the time. Oh, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But yet his will is very clear in Scripture. He says, wait until you be endued with power. If I'm lying to you, I'm dying, but I ain't dying. I am living, folks. I can sense this thing in my spirit. God is saying, speak to them about what I have for them. It's a reality. It really is. It really is. It's powerful. Wonderful. It don't feel sometimes. But I'll tell you what. When my wife was driving, it was flooded time just like this, driving. She was going to work. There was no bridge out of my house, and she had to pass through these washes. It was a back road to get out of. I was laid off at the time. Yeah. I was a stay-at-home dad. I had a little boy, probably not even a year old yet. And it's raining. My wife took my truck to work. She had to go out the back way. And while she was driving, somebody ran her off the road. But while she was driving, I had gone in to check on this young man, picked him up out of the crib, and said, well, I'm going to pray for him. So I just started praying. All of a sudden, this prayer language come up. Oh, sharamase. And I'm just praying, crying. I go, praise God. Put him in his crib. Dude, man, he got prayed for. Something going on for him. I didn't know that my wife was getting run off the road at the time. Oh, but God did. Hallelujah. I knew when my wife told me, hey, I got run off the road. And my truck? How's my truck? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I said, hey, babe. I said, man, is that right? I knew what it was immediately. It was the Holy Ghost that was praying. It's called interceding. It's called intercession. It's a reality. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Folks, I didn't plan on going that way. I really didn't, but I can sense it in my spirit just saying this is just as hard as I can that God is saying, end time generation, I need you in full operation of your faculties in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Your faculties in the kingdom need to be totally free so that you can operate in a freedom that you haven't experienced before. To where you walk up to a person, you say, this is what's going on in your life, this, that, the other, man. They fall on their knees and you say, praise God. You pray for them, they're saved, and they go on their way. They don't have to come to this church. Come on, man. Isn't that a little bit childish? You got to come to my church? Come on, man. Get them filled with the Jesus that died for them. Hey, do what God tells you to do. I talked about Allie and Angel and Allie last week. But these young kids, while they were leaving, you know, the Lord had totally healed their little boy, I believe it. And while they were leaving, they asked me, what's your name? I said, there's only one name you need to remember. His name is Jesus. Jesus has done this for you. That's all you need to know. Come on, man. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's for the kingdom. It's for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Did I read the scripture? John 16:13. It says this. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. God, folks, listen, man, we got to know truth like we've never known it before. We've got to get it down. We've got to allow God to write these truths in our heart so that when things happen, when you need them, these truths are coming up out of you like automatic. Is that cool? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Who's this? The Holy Ghost will do this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Is that right? Folks, we're talking about full operation of all the faculties that God has placed already within you that come via the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? It's not just, well, my gift is music. Well, my gift is healing. Well, it's not that. The gift is the Holy Ghost, and he's in you, and all those things are within you. Access them when you need them. Cool, man. Hallelujah. He will guide you into all truth. I wrote this down. If you get a chance, write this down. It says, truth is, all right? Truth is passionate. A lot of you have heard this already. Truth is passionate. It's powerful. It's without moderation. Moderation, if you think about moderation, is like your gas pedal on your car. Push to go fast. Let up to go slow. Is that right? Use a brake if you have to. Is that right? Push, pull. Truth isn't like that. You cannot moderate truth. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's either all true or it's not true at all. All true or not true at all. There's no moderation in truth. It's passionate. It's powerful. And it's always pushing forward. Hallelujah. Truth does not show the nature of man. Do you know that? It never will and never has. It will not show man's nature. Truth does not do that. It shows only the nature of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what else? The life. That's the way truth is. Always. John 8, verses 31 through 32. What does that say? Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you see that? Do you see it? How important is it that you know the truth? Folks, it is your freedom. It is your freedom. How many like being unrestrained? Yeah, come on, there's three of us. Amen. Hallelujah. When it comes to the kingdom of God, being unrestrained is it's a different look. It is when you walk out and you're going into Safeway and you're unrestrained because you got this freedom going on within you. These words begin to come out of you. There is no fear in this unrestraint. Do you understand? When you're walking through the store, man, you see somebody needs help, man. You help them. And then you say, hey, man, you know, God loves you, man. And you know what? As a matter of fact, then the God begins to speak things to that person. Isn't that cool? Unrestrained. Unrestrained. The flow of the waters of life coming out of you. Hallelujah. Unrestrained. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I love to be unrestrained. I love it, man. I love that flow that will come. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't sound like it's restrained to me, does it? It sounds like it's a flow that are rivers. Whew. Folks, God is talking to us this morning. He's saying, look, get ready. Get my truth within you. Huh? Hallelujah. John 6:63 says this. Remember God said this when we went to the Old Testament. He says, I will write my words upon their hearts. I will write them, and I will place it upon their minds. And then it says this. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is speaking here. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. What does the flesh profit you? Nothing. Has the flesh ever profited you in anything? Yeah. Has it ever taken you to where you want to go? The flesh. You might be the world's best basketball player in the world. Take you to the whatever, right? Oscar, give me a word. Where you at, bro?
Championship.
Thank you. Oh, it might take you there, but when it's done, what's going on? What's that? What have you got? What have you got? Does it ever take you there? Does it ever take you? The flesh just profits nothing. But add God into that. Because let me just say this to you. Let me just say, you know, God gave you your body. Do you know that? God gave you your flesh. So you just neglect it and say, okay, well, I'm just going. No, God. God says, hey, man, I built you this way. I've designed you this way. I've designed you to be healthy all your life. I've designed you to have a mind that's quick. I've designed you to have answers in every area of your life because it's who you are, because you're in me. I've designed you that way. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? That's who you are. The flesh doesn't profit anything, but if you allow Jesus into your life will profit your flesh. Oh, you got to get this. If you allow him into your life, you allow him in, it's going to profit your flesh. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, you're looking younger every day, bro. Amen. Is that right? Hallelujah. I speak it to my wife every, man, babe, you're beautiful. You're more beautiful than the first time I saw you. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something because I believe it. I believe God's word is so powerful. He says, the flesh profits nothing. And then Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are what?
Spirit.
And they are life. You can take it to the bank. What he's told you, spirit and it's life. It will bring life. Not death, it will bring life. Hallelujah, because it will bring life to your spirit. You need to hear the words of truth in your spirit so that your spirit can grab a hold of them, so your spirit can tell your soul, shut up. Isn't that right? That's exactly, I mean, that's the design. Your spirit tells your soul, shut up. And then when your soul gets it, then your soul says, man, I'm healed. Man, hallelujah. I don't care if my bills aren't paid. God is going to take care of it. Praise God. Come on, man. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we are in the best place we can be. Hallelujah. Don't neglect it. Don't let it just go off to the side. Take the word of God, believe it, and walk in it. Take some more, believe it, and walk in it. You're going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to back you up in everything that you're doing. That's just who he is. Grace for grace. We talked that grace is divine influence. Influence for influence. And when I looked at that scripture where it was talking about grace for grace, I looked at it in a few translations and it says grace upon grace upon grace. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, well, that is true. But the grace that comes into your life, the divine influence that comes, it's for you to have great divine influence on those that are around you. It's grace for grace. It's influence for influence. Do you get that? It's so that you can influence those around you. When Jesus was standing in front of Pilate, oh, I love this, he said this, I have come to bear witness of what? The truth. And folks, I'm going to tell you, how many of this bears witness in your spirit this morning? How many of you are saying, yeah, this is bearing witness to me, man. This is what God is saying this morning. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. I'm a pastor, right? No? Thank you. And I'm going to say this, I might not know what I'm doing, okay? But I am following the Lord. I am following the Lord. I had somebody say something to me the other day. He says, I've been in your services about 8 times, and I've never seen you take an altar call. I follow Jesus, and I believe in an altar call, but what I believe in more is the outflowing of the words of life. I believe in that. And yeah, maybe I don't take the altar calls because I've already believed that God is already working. Can you hear what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you this. I didn't see Jesus doing a lot of altar calls. I don't know where that concept came from. It came up somewhere, which is cool. I'm not saying anything bad about it. But I am saying my heart is to follow Jesus and to speak the words of the kingdom into the lives of those folks that are around us. So I'm sorry if I don't do a lot of altar calls. But I believe that when you're in the house of God and the Holy Spirit is moving and doing and actuating those things within you, when there's an inspiration happening in your life, that's your altar call right there. That's your altar call. That's who you are. Hallelujah. How many of you love God? How many of you realize that God is so much in love with you that He wants to communicate to you? Take the time to get into the Word. Take the time to find Him. Take the time, because it will always, always benefit, profit you when you go after your God. Praise God. I'm going to pray for you very quickly, and I would just say, just spend some time with a God that has created you for Him. Amen. The God that loves you, that cares about you. The God that paid for you on a cross, washed your sins away, and hallelujah. And has called you into a kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and every person here this morning, Lord. And God, I ask you, Lord, to continue to fill our hearts with truth. Holy Spirit, continue to fill us with the words of life. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. God, we praise you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to know you more, to hear you more, and to see and sense what you would have us to do in the world today. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. If you agree, in Jesus' name, say amen. 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 Thank you.